Hello and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. I'm your host, Shrini Patsadi. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat, as we begin to look ahead to the IPL. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Hi, Shrini. I'm doing very well. Thanks. Yes, it's the IPL season now.
Yes. The big, big cricket is here. The most important cricket, if you like, you know, in the T20 calendar. But I think before we look at the IPL, we will go through and look at obviously the whole of CSK, rule changes, you know, the rest of the teams, etc., what to look for and all of those things. And maybe, time permitting, you know, we can try and think of, we'll see if we can do some predictions, yours and mine separately. But I think before we talk about the IPL, the best place to start about is the Women's Premier League.
Of course. I was just going to correct myself and said the IPL is already here. That's the right way to put it. Because the women's IPL was what a final we had, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Mumbai, Mumbai Indians won it, but Harmanpreet, I think she finally managed to, like, you know, break her duck off winning in the knockout. She especially playing for, you know, India in terms of, you know, having lost in the World Cup finals in the T20 this time around and so on and so forth, you know, quite a number of captaincy. So, a winning start for her, winning the WPL finale. We sat this thing a couple of weeks, or even when we did the initial preview and when the squads were picked up, kind of said Mumbai seemed to be the strongest.
Yes, they are by far the strongest team. They weren't off to a great start. You know, there was some hiccup, especially in the bowling side, with the tail-enders almost scoring about 40 to 45 runs, I suppose. So that was some hitting from Delhi. So Izzy Bong, although she picked up some wickets, you know, went for a fair few runs towards the end. And what hitting that was. I mean, I think you can clearly see the quality difference when they play as international teams. That's the one thing that stood out to me. One was the intensity in the field, and the second was the sheer, you know, quality of the batting and fielding was really evident. It was stark difference between, let's say, if you played, maybe Australia is an exception, but if you say an England-India match, you would see even in a World Cup fixture, there is a lull and it's almost like veering off. But in the finals and in this WIPL, the last few fixtures, what was really evident was the intensity of the fielding and the batting.
Yeah. Rather than kind of focus on probably individual match, even within the final thing, I think it's probably worth looking at this from an overall perspective of what does it mean for women's cricket in India. That's not just women's cricket in India, as in, like, you know, finding obviously, like, you know, a number of new players. I know, again, this is something we touched about, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we did sort of brief, you know, we had Sada as well. So one of the things we said was there's a lot of international stars, if you like, you know, so especially from overseas that are dominating it. And I think the stats bear that to a large extent in terms of I looked at the stats the other day and it was something like, you know, almost halfway, like, you know, so the number of, or rather, let's rephrase that. The average of the women's batting from overseas was nearly double than what Indian batters averaged.
It's going to change,
you're right. You know, it is going to change. That's it. It's obviously, like, you know, the first year. It'd be interesting to, like, you know, take that stat and look at it in year three, year four, and see like, you know, how that has changed.
Of course, I think that will definitely change because there are pressures and the tournament itself will get bigger. So there is a lot of local talent that will emerge. See, if you show people that this is a viable career prospect, for any aspiring women sportsperson in India. You know, I still believe that the, you know, if you have billion people, you are going to find definitely about 500, you know, potentially world, you know, world-class players is what I wanted to say, you know, that because of the sheer, you know, population
volume,
and the,
Definitely, you're right, you know, for the volume, it's more almost, it's always been about how does that pipeline, you know, kind of emerge and, you know, comes up to the crop. Yes, it's easy to say, like, you know, the cream always comes to the top, but especially the kind of volume, number of people, you know, in India have, I mean, I know women probably, like girls kind of, you know, don't pursue sport, that, you know, this will help them to see, this will change that perception, and, you know, start to more, just going back to my point, I think about stats, etc. I think one other one we looked at was the 200 run mark was breached 4 times in this tournament alone.
Yeah.
And across, like, you know, the WBBL, the Women's T20 Challenge, the 100, the CPL Women's, etc. It's only been done like 4 times over, say, 630 games, as opposed to, like, you know, 4 times in the 22. So suddenly you can see that maybe the pitch and, you know, all of those things, you know, kind of, it's seeing, like, you know, how it's kind of gone big. I think, yeah, it's just a matter of time before this takes off and becomes as big as the IPL in the women's game.
Absolutely. The quality will be, in terms of the training staff, the support staff, and fans following. I think it would be interesting to look at some of the numbers of how many people tuned into this tournament and the fan following, and most importantly, the ad revenues. I think once you get all that squared up and say, okay, I mean, you know, what is it looking like, right? I'm sure, you know, before even launching the tournament, all those analysis would have been done. But, you know, I want to just say that, you know, it's only going to get better. The first installment was thrilling. Really enjoyed the quality of the game. Watched even the highlights just to make sure that, you know, it's quite nice to see the following, the energy in the field. The fielding, as I said, it was just completely different level. Bottom line, if you ask me, it's only going to get better from here on. It's really going to benefit not only women's cricket, but women's sport in India. And people would see, especially from the urban, semi-urban and rural areas, that this is a career worth pursuing. And that's what is going to be important.
Yeah, and there's also, like, you know, another side of it you saw was, like, Smriti Mandhana, captain for RCB, suddenly, like, you know, having been thrown in as being a captain for the whole tournament, she just didn't quite perform at all, both personally and overall, you know, with kind of the 5 losses, if you like. And in some ways, we're on one side, we're looking at, like, you know, a lot of unknown youngsters coming up to the highs. You suddenly see how someone, like, you know, who's another team player, you know, plays well and stuff, you add pressure on them of being the captaincy for an extended period of time or become big responsibility. It's all fine, like, taking it in a one-off match, etc., where, say, Harman is not available versus this. It's a whole different piece.
I thought for a minute you were drawing parallels between another famous cricketer for that same franchise.
Well, yeah, but the difference though with him is, like, you know, he's obviously been there, done there in India, you know.
Yeah.
I think he was different. He is different in terms of, he probably thrives on that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
It was more a surprise when he actually gave up captaincy rather than kind of, you know, when he got captaincy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just kidding. But yeah, all jokes apart, I think this is just the first edition. People will find out. You need to come together as a team. We all know, as people, managers, it's not easy to put together a team that is forming, storming, norming and all that. And, you know, I think different teams peak during different time. For example, Rajasthan won their maiden, you know, title, but then all the other teams started to figure out how to go about that. And then Chennai and Mumbai completely dominated. I think that same thing will emerge in this format, I mean, in this edition as well. So you would see teams getting settled, you know, looking at this as a career, and a lot of people are going to say, no, I'm not doing international cricket, let me do franchise. I think all that will happen. So yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about Smriti Mandhana and her personal this thing. It's a short tournament. The men have a longer rope. I mean, really long rope, unfortunately, when it comes to the tournament and the ability to bounce back.
Yeah. The other thing, obviously, we, you know, there were also like, you know, women umpires. So we, I know we're focusing on plays and stuff like that. That's another one in terms of improvement and all of those things. That's also another avenue. And that, yeah, you're right. Overall, I think it's a good build. I know the other thing we said when we started was like, you know, could this have been done as combined with the IPL and have like, you know, men's game in the morning and the women's game in the evening. But then I just realized as I was thinking through, like, you know, obviously the, while it's still the Tata WPL and the Tata IPL, the broadcasting rights have been sold to different partners in India, etc.
Yeah, yeah. So
therefore, you know, I don't think the, I think the way this is now set up is it is always going to be a standalone product on its own. Unlike the 100, I don't think it'll be like, it's just not going to be a men and women's, you know, morning sort of combined IPL. It is just going to be two standalone events.
Yeah, I think the 100 is different in that aspect that you don't have the population to bring in. You know, if you had, let's say, for example, arguments like that these were separate fixtures with the cost of tickets and, you know, how it is in here versus in India, you're like, it's almost like parties or, and the weather is all right for most of the time. So that kind of allows them to stagger the competition, whereas the window in England is, or in this part
small,
of the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Overall, I think, yeah, the BCCI will probably say, well, I'm sure, you know, it's a huge, huge success, and fingers crossed, we will see a lot more development from, again, the hope always is like, you know, Indian women then go on to win an ICC tournament. You know, this helps them develop play, because obviously this gives a huge, huge, you know, playing in front of back stands versus where historically they would have played at a few people, like kind of thing, versus now moving to where the noise and the pressure and etc. And you will see this starting this as well, like, you know, because there will be pressure that's coming in a slightly different from playing to India. So fingers crossed, you know, this it's taken off and it will grow, you know, huge. The only disappointment was that there is no CSK women. In time, I hope there will be like a women's.
Yes, yeah, CSK are like the apples of the world, isn't it? I mean, the apple, you know, doesn't do anything in a hurry, waits for others to, you know, see what it is, and then, you know, kind of invests. I think that's what these guys, CSK, are also waiting for, is just to see the demand, it's just to see the acceptance. They don't want to bet. So hopefully they've seen enough.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, like, you know, whenever in the next round of bus auction, you know, for teams, etc., the CSK takes on. It's probably a good time, you know, touching both CSK. I mean, I was kind of debating how we do this, whether we do the review of the men's IPL, the CSK first or the others. And now we're talking about CSK, maybe a good way to segue into, like, you know, the men's IPL. And we've never made any secret of, like, you know, this podcast is kind of biased, you know, towards towards CSK. So
focuses more on CSK.
Yeah. It focuses more on CSK, but it's also biased, or at least I'm biased, let's put it that way. So that's probably a good place to start with. In terms of, I guess, talking on CSK, it's not been officially confirmed anywhere, but I think the rumor mill is that this is going to be Taladoni's last season.
Yeah, they've been saying that for the last three. I think I remember when we looked at last year, I think that was the case. We said, yeah, probably he will quit. And then there was one more season. But I do think, you know, with the hiring of Stokes, you know, and how Ravindra Jadeja, you know, kind of gave up captaincy halfway and all that. With Stokes, I think, you know, let's see. I mean, we will not rush, but my hunch is, and we have said this earlier as well, I have said this earlier, is that, you know, they will focus this as a transition game where Dhoni is more looking at, and the leadership team within like Stephen Fleming are looking at molding Stokes into more of a leadership and captaincy role is what I see. And you have fallback in Rahane if he does choose to play more serious. But then there are other captaincy materials as well within that setup. So, but definitely, you know, Stokes, my MS Dhoni transitioning it to Stokes is what I predict, but let's see.
Yeah, that's obviously for kind of the next year. I mean, the one big thing, I suspect this will be the last year in the sense of, you know, we are playing home, at home, after a few years. It's been a fair while since we've actually played at home for the last, was it 3 years? You know, we've not really, it's not been a home and away kind of thing. You know, it's that from a team perspective as well, you know, playing all the games in Mumbai, Pune, then going away to the UAE for a couple of years and the various other ways. Last year, you know, spread across a few specific locations, etc. And, yeah, and bits and bobs like that. This is truly like, you know, the original CSK when we started, where like, you know, Dhoni and his band of spinners, if you like, controlling the game.
CSK was tailor-made to play in Chennai, right?
Yeah.
And their formula has always been win homemade matches, and then in the rest of the games, you even win half, you are going to laugh all the way. That's their formula. And then home support as well. Yeah, it's a coastal city. It's kind of hot. You know, it's unique conditions. Just right next to the beach there, you know, you're going to have those things influence your bowling, your field placement and whatnot. And I think also the fan support that I mentioned, you know, it's one thing when you have a sea of yellow and then everybody is going to root for you versus with the other locations, it's more balanced. Sometimes as you play, I mean, these things can matter. Of course, that is one. And the other one I wanted to mention was how this stadium has come up. Chepauk has been literally, you know, gutted out. And I saw a fan video of one of those pavilions that the player facilities. It's on par with any of the world facilities. In fact, even better in some aspects there. The new stands are all up and running. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this season. Fairly jealous about some of our friends who would be able to go and watch some of the games. That I think the first match is the 1,000th match in IPL, I suppose.
No, not the first match. It's the...
The May 6th one, sorry. Yeah,
the one between Mumbai and...
Yeah, no, it's a month from here.
Yeah, the El Clasico of IPL.
Yeah, of course, sorry. I confused the dates between April 6th and... But I think the match is like 1,000. So I think you see that's a lot. So there is a lot of hope. I think Chennai fans definitely deserve a good spectacle. And I'm really hoping that CSK put up a good show, let alone win the tournament.
Yeah. A couple of things you mentioned about there, like the stadium. Obviously, we saw the game against the final ODI between India and Australia.
Mm.
Both from a pitch perspective and the stadium perspective, yeah, you can see. I mean, you and I, we've been, you know, at Chepauk years and years ago, to watch the game, you know, completely different in terms of cement or concrete, you know, and the heat and everything else. It was actually used to be back in the day when I remember, like, this was late 1990s, early 2000, completely closed. Like, you know, even though the pitch is just by the coast, by the shore, by the beach, the wind, it never used to actually come in. It used to sweat. But I think they've obviously redone it now in the way where there's a lot more, like, you know, the wind can actually blow through this. It's been redesigned in that way.
Yeah, of course. I mean, from a player perspective, you can't even imagine, you know, we've watched a lot of those test matches where players, I think famously Sachin Tendulkar, I mean, that Chennai is now completely different. I mean, it's like, you know, a lot more breezier area. I mean, there's so much going on, you know, in terms of development, the connectivity, the station, the metros, to right up to the stadium. I think all that works for a great fan experience. I mean, in general, across India, it needs a lot more uplift, but definitely Chennai was long due and they've got one now.
Yeah, and from a pitch perspective, we already touched it. We saw it, you know, within that India-Australia game as well, that the pitch did offer spin and...
Yeah, it favoured the team in yellow. So
It did actually favour the team in yellow. And just kind of, you know, looking at the schedule, I think, like, there's a few away games that we play before we sort of play at home.
Yeah.
So we start, like, you know, the first game on the 3rd of April at home. But then there's almost, like, you know, in between a bunch of games. I don't know whether, you know, the way actually we play, let's just see how do we stack up in terms of our games home and away. So we start away the first, obviously we start the tournament on Friday, which is the first game against the reigning champions, Gujarat Titans. But then, no, I think we play home, away, home, away, home, away sort of thing. It's in the back end, like, you know, sort of in May, sort of 6th, 10th, 14th, there's a whole, like, at the back end of the season, there's about three games where all of them are at home. So as we come to the home stretch of the tournament, if we are up there, you know, that might be the ones where, which is the 6th May 1 game we talked about, CSK versus Mumbai Indians.
Possibly the hottest time in Chennai. If at all there is a worse time in terms of weather, but fans of Sun would not be disappointed. I mean, there will be blazing way to glory. The other thing that we want to probably look at is also, you know, when you talked about the latter half of the tournament and the early half of the tournament, we do have some player availabilities, people coming in late, Mahesh Tikshna, Makisha Patirana. Both, you know, kind of are stuck with the six-match white ball series with Sri Lanka and New Zealand. So I think they are coming only on April 8th. I think Devon Conway, Mitchell Sandner, although they are from New Zealand, they have been released to play the entire IPL season. Kyle Jameson's injury replacement is Sandra Magala. He's going to be... I think he's also due to arrive late. I think after April 2nd or whatever.
No, I think Sisanda Magala might. I don't think South Africa are playing any sort of T20. They finish off the West Indies T20.
But they're playing ODI against Netherlands. If you remember.
Oh, yeah.
I
wasn't sure, like, if he was actually in the squad or not. I know. That South Africa were actually going in with a strong squad.
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look. Yes, Sana Magala is actually in the squad, so he will obviously come after the finishing of that one. And I don't know I mean, yeah, this finishes on 2nd of April, so he should be in straight after that. And it's also clearly not clear in terms of how long or how many games
Yeah,
Ben Stokes will play.
that is a big question as well, as to how long, I mean, how much Ben Stokes would play. And England are is traditionally very protective of their players, and rightfully slow,
Especially
rightfully.
this year with Ashes.
Exactly. Ashes, and that is a, yeah, there is that pressure as well. So let's see.
So, just quickly looking at the squad. I mean, I'm looking forward to Deepak Chahar. Obviously, he missed the whole IPL last year,
Yeah.
and Deepak Chahar's return back. He was phenomenal. The year before that. Always getting those wickets, initial breakthroughs in the power play. From a bowling perspective, again, Rajvardhan Hangarekar, he was there in the squad last year. He didn't play at all, but he's another year old and experienced now. I wonder, whether India, Chennai will start using him in terms of, as
Yeah.
the opening bowler.
I mean, if you really look at it, there's one more thing that I noticed was CSK could potentially have five left-handers in their top seven.
Yeah.
Stokes, Gaikwad. Yeah, I mean, the tops, it's a lot of, what am I saying? Yeah, Stokes, Jadeja, main. In terms of, they're not really great with people. A lot of teams have good off spinners. That's what I wanted to, kind of bring into play. That in a potential this thing, there's going to be a lot more left-handers playing for CSK this season. Moeen Ali, probably.
Yeah, Moeen Ali
Um,
definitely.
so yeah. So if you have a decent off spinner, you would kind of take the ball away, and it's going to be that much more difficult. Let's see. I mean, I'm just these are things that, I'm sure the think tank would consider.
Yeah, it's just quickly writing down to see, what could potentially be the 11.
Yeah.
I came up with what, nine. The other two are probably the ones which will depend. I mean, Mukesh Chaudhary was another one that's now been pulled withdrawn because of injury. Yeah, there is likely to be a few new players, who's will probably be given opportunities. Because I mean, looking at my sort of thing, who are we looking at opening? With Devon Conway, Vritharaj Gaikwad, isn't it? Yeah. So
Yeah.
just looking at, obviously, there's Dhoni, the at least the three that I could pick up in terms of overseas, beginning with Devon Conway, Ben Stokes, Moeen Ali. The fourth one, could it be Dwayne Pretorius or Mitchell Santner, depending on, home or away where we are playing.
Yeah.
And
I
then,
think it will be horses for courses, so you can't pick 11 from this and say if they play in Chennai, what it's going to be looking like, and if you play away, probably it will be slightly different.
Ravindra Jadeja, obviously, Deepak Chahar, Ben Stokes, Moeen Ali, Ruthraj Gaikwad, Ajinkya Rahane, Ambati Raidu, Shivam Dubey. And this is where I was thinking, would they go for a fourth one, or do they go for the likes of Rajvardhan Hangarekar to give bowling, to give
Yeah.
younger. Otherwise, we are sort of, I mean, other than even Shivam Dubey is almost 29, so it's like, well, not almost, he's 29, he's almost 30 rather. The younger is really Rajvardhan Hangarekar, Ruthraj Gaikwad in the 20 to 25 bracket. The rest all pretty much, it's the over 30 squad. In fact, Dhoni over a 40 squad also. This will be a proper dad's army.
Again,
Yeah.
and yeah, I think yeah, there are younger young blood as well, like Simarjeet Singh with like 25, right arm medium fast, so he could if they play any one of those, and a couple of Sri Lankan players as well who might be joining late. Yeah, I think it's not exactly the dad's army of the old. We do have some young blood, but if you go by your first 11, yeah, I think you're talking about at least a good percentage of players being 30 plus.
Yeah, and in terms of, I guess, the first opponents, you know, Gujarat Titans, they seem like still the team to beat. You know, normally what we would talk about, like, you know, Mumbai Indians, I mean, given we'll probably touch on Mumbai Indians, etc. They obviously finished at the bottom of the table last year. Talking of the Gujarat Titans, I think Kane Williamson's move to Gujarat Titans, they've showed up even more, like, you know, experience from last year. Ardik Pandya, Shrikar Bharat having played test for India, I think he would have gained a lot more experience wise.
Yeah, I still think Vridhiman Saha is going to keep and play with Shrikar Bharat being. I wouldn't put him exactly as a hitter, whereas Saha has got a lot more experience. I think at a 125, 130 strike rate with some good average. So
it is, but I think, you know, obviously we've not really seen Shrikar Bharat in the T20 format, you know, sort of, you know, this might be the one. Yes. I'm not sure whether they will go with Vridhiman Saha this time around, especially given the fact that he's obviously not had any cricket at all.
Right.
And they've got Shrikar Bharat, who's actually a good keeper as well. He's not just a batting keeper, but he's a keeper batsman. So, I think the one person...
Sorry, go ahead, Shrin.
No, I was just saying the one person I'm looking ahead there is like Sai Sudarshan.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, I'm really looking forward to Sai Sudarshan. And I think left arm seamer as well. SRH have a different team, but you know, what about Vijay Shankar, the all rounder who
I think his time has come and gone, you know, he's gone. I mean, the likes of
They are a good team. I mean, GT are a good team. David Miller, you have, Pandya, of course.
Yeah.
They are a good team. Rahul Tewatia, don't forget Rahul Tewatia.
Yeah, Rashid Khan, obviously.
Yeah.
So, there is a good team. Shivam Mavi, hopefully, like, you know, he's another one we've been looking forward to post the under-19, you know, comes up. Yeah. So, it feels like, you know, Gujarat Titans are one of those teams who haven't had. I mean, I was making a list earlier, and like that list, at least five teams that have got. Well, we touched about Kyle Jamieson for Chennai, but there are probably five other teams who have got, like, you know, real big, not from lots of injuries, but the one-off injury players or players missing. You know, KKR. Shreyas Iyer, you know,
big. Their captain is going to be not playing. I think Nitish Rana is going to captain in place of injured Shreyas Iyer.
Yeah, don't know, like, you know, really what his thing is from a captaincy perspective. So there's a big one, KKR, Shreyas Iyer. Bumrah, obviously, we know for Mumbai Indians, you know, Bumrah is going to be a massive miss. Yes, they have got Cam Green in, you know, so obviously Kieran Pollard's retired as well. So I think Mumbai are proper, a team in transition is probably how I would put them in, especially given where they finished last year. I know, I mean, hopefully Jofra Archer is actually available to play. I mean, last year we said the likes of Tim David, Dewald Brovis and everybody, and yet they finished at the bottom.
I think their captaincy and leadership style needs a refresh, is what I believe. I think the fans also think that's one of the reasons. But you never know. I mean, Rohit Sharma is a seasoned campaigner. Who are we to say? He's probably won more IPLs than pretty much anybody. So,
yeah,
let's see. He is Mumbai's own Dhoni for them.
Other than Cam Green, the one I'm looking forward to there is like, you know, Arjun Tendulkar.
That's going to be interesting. The expectation
is like, you know, he will probably play. You know, he's not really played much in the previous years, now at 23 years.
In left-arm pace again, you know, it's going to be mighty useful, Srini, especially against the heavy left-handed batting lineup against CSK. It's a bittersweet moment.
Yeah, it's sort of surprising to see, like, you know, he's 23 years. I mean, given the fact that we grew up watching Tendulkar play, like, you know, 25 years, you know. He will obviously carry that pressure on his name, you know. That's going to be a challenging one. Talking of KKR, I know we kind of mentioned Shreyas Iyer going to be missing. Just looking at their team, doesn't fill me with confidence at all.
I was saying that, because Brendan McCullum is out as a head coach, of course, understandably now. There is new leadership team this season. So that is point number one, with a new captain, fairly young, inexperienced captain, I would say, compared to others. It is going to be interesting with their teams, you know, how it's going to play. And yeah.
Even looking at their overseas, for example, you know.
Yeah.
David Visa, he's 37, and obviously he plays for Kenya now, isn't it, David Visa? No, Namibia.
Namibia.
David Visa. Tim Southee, Shakib Ul Hasan and Sunil Narain and Litton Das, Andre Russell, hit and miss, Ramanullah Gurbaz. He's been good, but, you know, again, as a wicketkeeper, is he going to be there? One, probably. Venkatesh Iyer, he kind of was there, but it didn't really shine through. Lucky Ferguson. They're all like, you know, who can probably win games on their day. But as a collective, I think this year.
Yeah. Especially with a young, inexperienced leader, right? I mean, how are you going to, inspire somebody like Venkatesh Iyer to perform, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, I'm you know, this is one of the teams that the other teams would fancy beating.
Talking on then, who else should look? Let's look at Delhi Capitals, Stan. Delhi Capitals, obviously, their big miss is going to be Rishabh Pant.
Big miss?
Yeah. Again, their talisman captain, if you like. He is... I don't know if they've announced who's going to be captaining. I know David Warner obviously moved there.
Yeah.
I can't remember, like, no, from a captaincy perspective, who they have announced. Potentially Prithvi Shaw. Prithvi Shaw might be a potential there in terms of captaining them. Manish Pandey is another option.
Yeah.
Yeah, the three of them, David Warner, Manish Pandey, or Prithvi Shaw, in terms of their options.
Yeah, Delhi is, I they might finish mid-table. I think they're definitely a huge miss in terms of, you know, not having punt.
And again, they've got some good overseas, but their Indian contingent... Phil Salt is the one that I'm looking forward to on the Delhi side of it, you know. Suspect he will be the wicketkeeper batsman for them. So he's likely to play the whole series. Again, nobody like, you know, sort of jumps out and says this. I mean, looking at the squad, it doesn't jump out and say, yep, they are likely to like be challenging for...
Yeah.
The top.
Then another team like that in the similar boat is, talking about misses just close to Delhi is Punjab.
Yeah.
And new captain, new coach for the season, Lo Bairstow, That's going to be a huge hit. I mean, we all know how much of an enforcer Bairstow is. I mean, he gives you keeping ability.
Yeah, there's the couple of players that I'm probably looking at there is obviously, this is more like a good story in terms of Sikandar Raza.
Sikandar Raza, I was just going to say, yes, he's good. I'm looking at, of course, Sam Curran as well. I mean, Sam Curran is not exactly a Sikandar Raza story. He's already a success. But yeah, I'm really excited, and also excited for Liam Livingston.
Yeah.
Let's see how that team comes up. They've got some match winners there. Liam Livingston, Shikhar Dhawan, Rabada, Curran, you know, Bhanuka Rajapaksa, Shah Rukh Khan, Raza. Yeah, they've got decent. I mean, Matthew Short as well, player of BBL, I think. He's drafted in as a replacement for Bairstow. So let's see. I mean, they might silently sneak through to playoffs. I think that's what my hunch says, because you've got a completely new setup. You know, it's an experienced hand leading. We all know Shikhar Dhawan has got loads of experience in leading sides. He's not exactly newcomer. He's been leading India's other side to other this thing. Wasim Jaffer is, as the batting coach. Trevor Bayliss is now leading it. Brad Haddin is going to be. So their contingent looks strong than most of the other setup.
Yeah. Injury-wise, let's look at RCB, you know, another one. Rajat Patidar. He's out. Well, he's supposed to be out for the first half of the tournament, but it's likely, like, you know, he might probably. RCB, you know, they always start thinking, like, you know, they've definitely got a squad. But again, it's with them, it's been, you know, I don't know if Faf du Plessis leading them, and, you know, Dinesh Karthik and Virat Kohli, Glenn Maxwell.
So they've got a good team. I mean, make no mistake. I mean, Josh Hazlewood they've got really good team. Michael Bracewell, Faf, Virat Kohli, Maxwell, you name it, they've got it. Harshal Patel, Hasranga. I mean, they're just spoiled for choices there. I don't know. Josh Hazlewood is a question mark. But one thing I wanted to talk about RCB is their fans.
Yeah.
I just was watching one of those, you know, Nags videos, and the reception that they got, Chris Gayle, ABD, and Kohli in the field, that the crowd was like mental, you know, really. I mean, I think ABD also mentioned in his interview. So, obviously, at least for Kohli's confidence sake and for RCB, I hope they make it to playoffs. They've got a good setup, and they've got home advantage this time as well. So let's see.
Yeah, home advantage. Interestingly, like, no, it's a postage stamp ground. So I'm sure it's an advantage.
I mean, you can say that about Chennai as well, and probably some stadiums in Mumbai.
Yeah, but then also the fact is, like, you know, it's always been a high scoring ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bangalore
it's a taste as well.
Moving on, you know, the other teams we haven't looked at is, let's look at the Sunrisers Hyderabad. They've changed quite a bit this time around, isn't it? Letting go a few people. It does look, you know, an interesting squad, you know. Washington Sundar, Imran Malik, Glenn Phillips, Adil Rashid. Adil Rashid is the one that I'm looking forward to there. There's been so much talk about how, like, you know, they've not picked him in IPL, and finally he's got
a chance now,
so he's been picked up. So we'll see, like, you know,
Marco Janssen, Umran Malik, you know, they've got really good pacers there. Natarajan can come and play some games. I think it's a really good setup.
Harry Brook, so there's another one to, like, you know, Marco Janssen, Harry Brook. Yeah. They've got a good overseas contingent. They've got a good mix, actually.
I'm not sure about how the leadership style for Markham. I mean, most of these Indian setup rely heavily on the leadership style to, you know, galvanize. We all know how, you know, for example, Hardik Pandya led that side, and he didn't have really the star players, and yet managed to win. But I'm really looking forward to Harry Brook. And
I'm actually looking at Sunrise, thinking they might be the dark horses this time around. Depends. I think Mayank Agarwal will probably be the captain.
No, it's Aidan Markram who's the captain.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, they've announced it. Definitely Aidan Markram will lead SRH.
So I have with quite a bit of sort of South African contingent there, you know, Marco Janssen, Hendrik Claassen. This will be an interesting one. I have a sneaking suspicion that they'll probably be the dark horses. Rajasthan Royals, Ashwin, Sanju Samson, Josh Butler. Yashasvi Jaiswal, you know, and Joe Root is the one that I'm looking to see. Finally, Joe Root makes his appearance in the IPL.
IPL, yeah.
Especially the fact that he's not even playing T20 for England, not played a lot. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes, or whether he just uses this as a prep session for the ODI World Cup. depends, obviously, to how much games you get, because you think,
All my mates are here. Why don't I also get myself there? You know, anyway, it's Josh Butler playing in that game. I mean, in that setup. So, let's go have an outing, you know. I think there is a lot more to that, but I doubt if Joe Root would get in a pacier condition they might play him, especially with Josh Butler being in the side, and you'd obviously have to play Shimran Hetmeyer. I think it would be Trent Bolt would obviously play, so you already have three foreign slots, kind of covered there. So let's see.
That leaves us with the last squad, which is the Lucknow Super Giants.
Lucknow Super Giants, isn't it?
They've got a good squad, except for the captain, depends.
Except for the captain's form, I was just going to say. Yeah. I mean, he's been really, he's been really beaten. but then there was glimpses of his comeback. I mean, I can't say that he's completely, Surya Kumar Yadav kind of beaten. He's just starting to come back. Quinton de Kock. Chased. I was like, what? 250 plus scores. They just chased it down with an over to spare.
First 500 run ODI, T20 match. QDK coming in proper form.
Yeah.
So, they are a good team, If some of the players stand up,
Mark. Yeah, Romario Shepherd, Marcus Toynes. Yeah, there are really exciting
players.
Looking
forward to Mark Wood.
Mark Wood as well. It will be good between Mark Wood and Umran Malik, if they get to play somewhere in Dharamshala or something.
It's overall Gujarat Titans, obviously you have to be biased and say CSK, Mumbai Indians, and Mumbai Indians, let me say that maybe I'll rethink it. Gujarat Titans, Royal Challengers Bangalore, Sunrisers and CSK, those are the four I'm thinking.
I was just definitely going to pick RCB, because just by sheer law of averages, they'll have to come somewhere close. It can't be 15 years, and then it can't be. Gujarat Titans, but it really depends on how Pandya's fitness and form is going to be. SRH, you did mention, I still think that SRH is, not the exactly the dark horse, but CSK definitely, not exactly the dark horses, but for me, it will be Punjab, G2, RCB, and CSK.
Okay, so we'll see.
I know betting on Punjab is not, it's just a high risk lottery. Very high risk.
But yeah, you're right. You know,
in because terms of Ticker Dhawan's experience.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the backroom squad as well, you know, in terms of sometimes
we don't
think about them, you know, in terms of them being able to extract out of player. As you said, the Rajasthan Royals squad, the first IPL. Shane Warne extracting the maximum out of his, like, you know,
yeah,
Moneyball team is that's pretty much, you know, how the one thing I guess all of these things have people have to consider about is the, like, you know, the law changes and or the rule changes in the playing conditions.
Yeah,
the two there's a few, but I think the two most important ones to look at and discuss is the one is the impact substitute, and then the other one is which came I think late now around the team actually being announced after the toss.
I think it's fair, Srini, because you know, the second one especially, the toss squad after the toss, because then it gives the opposition, it kind of negates the effect of toss to a little bit. I mean, you can play that additional extra bowling all-rounder if you're chasing. And then you can, I mean, really depending on the pitch conditions, it kind of helps even out the odds to an extent, makes it for a great viewing experience. I suppose they would slot in, oh, we'll wait for the big reveal for the squads and all that. But tactically, I think as a captain, you would welcome the ability to announce the squad as how you're, if you're playing first, on a high-scoring venue, you might want to bolster your batting, and then I think that's the main advantage that it gives.
Yeah, and thinking of it, like, you know, so especially with the impact player sub as well being there, there is going to be quite a bit of tactical nous that the captain and the coaches are also going to require in terms of, obviously. It was 11 players plus 4 substitutes, and your impact player comes out from that. So it's a 15-man squad game rather than, like, you know, just the 11 that was selected, and obviously having the ability to change. It'd be interesting to see, like, you know, how often the captains change their team. That would be the interesting bit I would want to say, because right now, for example, none of us know when we only know the team list after the toss is done anyways, but what would be interesting to see is whether the broadcasters actually tell you, like, you know, the squad A was what was planned, or the captains tell you, like, you know, at the toss and say, oh, I've just changed my particular player based on, you know, the outcome of the toss. It'd be interesting to see how often that happens.
Now, how much of strategy you want to give away during the tournament is, I think these are not, some of them are, protective about it. Some of them, are free to discuss these things. It's not a hidden secret and all that. We'll wait to see how it pans out. But if I were somebody, in that leading position, I wouldn't want to exactly discuss who we had planned and who is sitting out. I think it just gives away too much of our strategy to dishing it out in the open.
No, yeah, but you think, like, you know, actually knowing that will really is what actually tells, like, is it really having, you know, is the selection of players after or changing of team after the toss, how much of an impact does it actually have, you know, on the term? Because you look at this and then you think, like, you know, if this happens, you take rule changes of, like, you know, the 100 started out the first thing around, like, you know, if you get caught and you cross, it doesn't matter, the new batsman will go and strike. That started out in the 100 as a playing condition, and eventually it's now gone into becoming an MCC law. And this is another one of those things, you know, if depending on if it shows the fact that, especially this tournament happening in India and the World Cup to follow, would the ICC look at this thing thinking, oh, this is a good thing, you know, with the, if it shows that it's reduced the impact of dew, could they use it as a playing condition for the World Cup and say, like, you know, we're adding that as a playing condition and say the captains can announce the team or change the team after the toss has been done?
Especially in a one-day situation, I think it will have a huge impact. But coming back to your point, I think if it goes successfully, if it pays off, and if you have the person who the lead, captain has picked plays really well, they might go back and say, yeah, you know, we kind of did a strategic this thing here. So, yeah, I don't know what how you would measure the impact of how this is evened out. It would be one for the statisticians, but it's kind of really difficult to quantify that initial 11 and based on how that change has impacted the outcome of the game. It's a tricky one. It's a good question.
Yeah, be definitely, like, you know, kind of looking forward to that. That's a good time, you know, to look forward, look to the ahead to the IPL starting on Friday onwards, and as usual, you know, in our next subsequent podcast, we will review all of the games that have taken place and see how the tournament goes. If you like the sound of this podcast, as usual, you know, leave your review ratings and comments on any of the platforms you get it from: Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, you know, iTunes, etc. And we will try and post as much as possible, you know, during the IPL on Twitter. So do definitely leave your comments or, you know, and engage with us on Twitter. Until next time, after the IPL has started, whatever you're doing, have a good one. Goodbye.